from Knockadoon to Ardmore, so much to do and see. Last week, we boarded the Kathleen and May, we left Jawl and we took a trip up the river. Mike, the listeners and yours truly. Mike, you're very, very welcome again to our continued trip up the River Blackwater. Last week, we left off at Temple Michael Castle. This week, we're looking at Mullan Abbey. Would that be right?
We're still... Good morning, everybody, again, anyway. And thanks for listening. And we say this morning, this is part two. And what we're doing, is, as I said from last week, just in case you missed it, we're heading up the River Blackwater, up as far as actually of Lismore. All the way up to Lismore. And all the bits and pieces that you'll see. We're doing it on the boat, but as I was kind of saying last week as well, you can do this by car. You know the way? You can see all these places by car as well. And we, at the moment, we kind of, we finished off last week at Temple Michael Castle. Mm-hmm. We've still a bit left to do in Temple Michael area. There's so much to do here.
Yes.
And, you know, as I said, it's only 10 minutes out the road for all of us as well. Absolutely gorgeous place. But we're going to start today again, Noel, with Mullan Abbey, the famous Mullan Abbey. So we'll say the Abbey was built around 501 by St. Mullan, obviously, and this was Mael an Fod, or Mael in English, Mael the Prophet. So his first name was probably Mael, and it was he founded, we'll say, the monastery here on Darinus, which is called Oak Island. Now we all know the course of Oak Island,
yes,
but it's not this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So and it was an island back then. So if you know, anybody knows Mullan Abbey, it's not an island.
It's not an island. It's not an island.
But it was actually an island back then, and it was actually a causeway. And it was, again, the Halroyd Smiths, you know, they did a lot of work for the area. Mm. And it was the Halroyd Smiths, and I think it was Grice Smith. But they built the causeway across, and it was 1806 was the causeway. So then, instead of getting onto a boat to go to the island, you could actually walk.
You could go,
beautiful. But so St. Mullan was one of the seven sons of Cathal MacHugh, and he was the king of Munster in around the 6th century, around 500 again. He was in the 6th century. He was a high king of, or just the king, sorry, of Munster, not high king of Munster. But the abbey we see today, so obviously we'll say when St. Mullan, a bit like Ardmore and the other places, you know, there's very little left because it was just such a long time ago, and everything was obviously a lot smaller back then as well, anyway, Noel.
But of course, and of course, I suppose when they built on the island, it was just solitude, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bit safer as well than, you know, the old natives probably wouldn't.
Well, with all that's going on around the place, like, I suppose, you know, it was quite a prudent venture to build on an island.
And a lot of them did. The abbey that we can see today, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Mm. Again, Raymond Le Gros, we mentioned him last week. Now, just kind of go a bit there with the likes of Raymond Le Gros. He was one of the strongbows, we'll say, back in the Norman Conquest. And he was one of, you know, because it was obviously for Ireland, it was strongbow, and he was the main guy. He was the king. And and what they call him was an initial force, we'll say. There was initial force to land in Ireland before the main force of Normans came into Ireland as well. So 1066 would have been the Battle of Hastings. This is where the Normans came from France into England and wiped out, we'll say, and took over the whole country. It was nearly kind of like 100 years later, it was 1177 was the main force to come from, 1,000 years later, to come from to come over to Ireland then at that stage. No, they had all settled in Wales and England and all this kind of stuff.
Yes,
the Normans there as well. And so they came over. The initial force, what it was actually, funny enough, was Dermot MacMurrough. And he was the King of South Leinster, and they helped to, he asked them. So they were invited in. They didn't invade Ireland.
They were invited in.
And this is one of the kind of the things where everybody says, we were invaded. We were never invaded by the Normans. They were actually invited in by Dermot MacMurrough, the King of South Leinster. And it was actually Raymond Le Gros then who established the Augustine Priory, and possibly the castle, as we just mentioned there in last week's programme about Temple Michael Castle. I'd say there was a castle, you know, the way I reckon the castle that's there today is the 16th century, but I'd say it was built on top of probably an older castle. It makes sense, you know, the way.
Because, well, as you brought up a very valid point actually in previous programmes there, I suppose from a builder's point of view, the stone was there. And you didn't have to go miles dragging horses and carts and stones all over the country.
Absolutely.
So it made sense.
I would say, and the priory lasted a long time as well, actually, Noel. And it was really King Henry back in his day. He wanted to change everything, and he dissolved the abbey, we'll say, along with everything, all Catholic religion.
He laid waste of Catholic.
In 1538. Yeah. So that was kind of the last of the Augustines then, of the priory then at that stage. But I was just saying about support from Dermot McNamara, the King of South Leinster, and it was he that invited him in. But it was a kind of a bit of a story there, actually. Is seemingly Dermot McNamara went to one of his neighbouring kings and rode in with his horse, and then he grabbed the wife of the local, the other king, and brought him back, you know.
Oh, very good.
It was like kind of, but to be honest with you, what they said was, it was like, you know, your one said, Dermot, what time you pick me up, love? And in he went with his horse, and that was this. And this is the way it was done back then. And the guy took the thing that, you know, you're after stealing my wife, but the wife was kind of very happy to be where she was as well.
Better options there, I suppose.
And that's where, you know, how they were invited in. And that's a true story, to be honest with you, that's a true story. But again, you know, the Normans, we call them the Normans, but when they came into England, the England was Saxons, right? These were kind of the Germans, the Anglo-Saxons. And we'll say the Normans were Northmen's. They're North, so they're Vikings.
They were from the local.
And they kind of came down from Scandinavia, from Denmark, from all these areas. And they were Vikings, and they came down, they settled in France, which is Normandy. And they settled, that was their main area where they settled, because they're very close to everything there from, you know, from boat-wise. They didn't travel really inland. They wanted to stay by the sea the whole time. So the Normans are Northmen's. So when they came to Ireland, Noel, it was a lot better, because most of the areas, like y'all, like Dublin, like Waterford, all these places, they were all fellow Northmen's. No, they didn't all get on, as we'll just hear now in a second, but they were all Viking blood themselves. So they got on very, you know, there was very little killing kind of got on.
Yes.
And it was feudal. So the guys came in, they had a huge army, let's be honest about it, comparing to the Irish guys, the old Irish families that were there at the time, the O'Briens and the O'Connors and all these guys. So these guys came in, and they were what they call feudal landlords.
Yes.
So this is why all the castles are there. You know, the way you're going to have a castle if you're going to be there, and all the locals, neighbours, you know, nobody's going to put up against you when you have a castle. And that's why there's so many castles around the place, because it was all feudal times. You know, you had to kind of defend your land you're after robbing, by the way. That's the way it is. So, and if, a funny one, because like Raymond Le Gros, the thing about the Normans, the Northmen's, and I know it myself from, because I'm very lucky with the work I do, Iceland is one of the places.
Iceland is one of your places that you work at.
I travel in Iceland, I work in Iceland.
So you can be very familiar with these fellas, the wheeled axes,
well,
by the way.
And it's a funny one, because like the second name, right, the surname, Noel Cronin, Mike Brooks here, up there today, we'll say in Iceland, you could be sitting at the table, right, there could be a mother, a father, brother and sister, all of them have different surnames, every one of them today. And I was actually I was in Germany with a gang of them there last year, and we were in the pub and we were chatting about it, and I was saying, but do any kind of Icelandic people have normal surnames like us? And they said, only the snobby ones, that's the way they put it.
Excuse me.
So what it is you're going to be the son of or daughter, so like names like Jameson, Johnson, all this is son of John, son of James.
John,
but Fitz is the same thing. It's the French version of son of. So Fitzgerald is son of Gerald. Fitzgarrett, Fitzgibbon would be son of.
We probably have the same here, because when we say O'Sullivan.
O'Sullivan.
You know, man with one eye. O'Sullivan. Of Sullivan. Son of Sullivan.
So we'd say the Fitzgeralds would be Raymond Le Gros, by the way, is not Raymond Le Gros. He was Raymond Fitzgerald. Well, he's Raymond Fitzgerald. In other places you look at it, he was Raymond Carew. And what it is like Raymond Le Gros was a nickname. Raymond the Fat One in French.
So, I see.
So it was just, yeah. And he, if you go to Milan Abbey, his little statue is there, or the plaque is on the wall to say this is where he's buried. It's Raymond Le Gros. Everybody knew him as, but they had like other names.
Raymond the Fat One.
Raymond the Fat One. But he was Raymond Fitzgerald, so son of Gerald.
Yes.
But then they said Raymond Carew. And then what it was like, if you go up to Castle Martyr, right, you're stuck in the bloody bridge the whole time, and the lights,
yeah,
traffic lights, the Hunting Hog. There's a little restaurant there called the Hunted Hog.
Mm.
And I think there's a story about it, and it's a true story again. It was the Fitzgeralds that were in the area, and there was a wild hog or a wild boar that was rampaging around the whole area, and either one of the Fitzgeralds killed him, or they got somebody to kill him, and they gave him a load of land or something. And there's sort of the big story about that. And but
is that why they call it the Hunted Hog?
There's a story with that one, the Hunted Hog.
Because the comedian actually had that.
That's right, he did. You're right.
Can't think of his name now off the top of my
head. That's right.
You know, that's right. Yeah. That's the fella, yeah.
That's the guy. Yeah. Can't think of his name either.
Yeah. But he had that actually. The Hunted Hog.
And it was even in Fitzgerald's.
And of course, that area is called Carewswood.
And what it was Raymond was Raymond, what they say, Carew, but it would have been Raymond of Carew. So Carew Castle in South Wales, which is very close to Pembroke, actually. And it was Carew Castle, so Carew in South Wales. Raymond and his family, those Fitzgeralds, would have come from South Wales over to Ireland. And they came from Castle Carew. Their castle was Carew. So
Carew, yeah.
It was Raymond of Carew. Carewswood, or Raymond Fitzgerald, Raymond, who's son of Gerald, and that's where the names.
Fascinating.
And even.
Fascinating.
Because we call them, like, we'll say here is the Fitzgeralds were the Earls of Desmond.
True, yeah.
And then we'll say the Butlers, if you go up to Kilkenny, it's the Earls of Ormond. And I think it's the O'Briens then in Tormund in Limerick. So Tormund is Limerick.
Yes.
All the words, think of it, Desmond, Ormond, Tormund. Common word Mond. Mond is Munster, Mumba. And Desmond Dees Mumba is South Munster. So the Earl of South Munster. Ormond is East Munster or Mumba. And then Tormund is North Munster because they would have been up to Connacht. So Tormund is North Munster. So they were the Earls of South Munster, East Munster, and North Munster. That's where
Desmond, where the names
Ormond
came from, yeah.
And Tormund comes from as well, anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're flying through it now.
I'm telling you, listen to me. We learned something every day. Michael, a mine of information.
Absolutely.
Mine of information.
Means you can get off to Google. But so we're still kind of Temple Michael, Glendyne. Mm. Glendyne is the Glen of the Oxen. And it actually says it again back in the annals of the Yall as well. And it says in the Glen of Glendyne, it was here in the year 945, a battle by two rival Viking invaders. And it says it is recorded as a battle between the Ravens of Munster and the Ravens of the West in Glendyne at Darienus. So Darienus is Oak Island, which would have been an island then.
Yes.
So it would have been just at around that area as well. So at Temple Michael. And what it says, the West won and many were slain. You know,
that's probably where the name Raven's Rock came from.
Okay, yeah.
More than likely.
Geez, a good point, actually, yeah.
That's where Raven, you know where Raven's Rock is? Just above, when you head up the scenic route.
Yeah.
And you pass up Boola there and the road starts to straighten out there. You pass actually the curate's house there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's any curate in it now. But just past that, there's a little road, a little opening going down there to the left down there. And down there into the forest there, that was called Raven's Rock, where our water supply comes from. So that's where the Ravens.
That's where the Ravens, because it is the Ravens of the West and the Ravens of Munster. So there was definitely the Raven, some of the Raven clan, Viking clans was. But you know something, Noel? I have my doubts about this because, you know, the Dalys lived out there as well. Like, so that Michael and John and Aidan, as for that Kevin, you know, them poor Vikings had never had a chance. You
never,
know?
Never had a chance.
Good morning, Mary, by the way.
They took one look at they headed out of there with their tails down.
Good morning to them all.
Morning, all.
Great families. Yeah. Great family. Absolutely great. So, we're just saying Glendyne there and just leaving there again. And we're looking, you know, if you're inside Moundtray, in Milan Abbey, like the views you have, first of all, of Temple Michael itself, the castle and all that, but when you look at the other side, then Ballinatree House.
Oh, yes.
It's such a, absolutely gorgeous, really, really gorgeous. We're looking down from the boat, so we've the prime view now, the whole place now, from the Catalina May here, and we're looking at Ballinatree House. The house we see it now was kind of built in around 1795, I think, Noel, it was there. Again, old hands, there's a lot of these lands, and it's just so old families. And you know, we'll go on to a few more places up along the river as well. But this, we'll say 1601, it was all Raleigh. Walter Raleigh had everything, we'll say. So he sold the entire estates to Richard Boyle, first Earl of Cork, or Yeoman as well. And a decade later, 10 years later, Boyle gifted Milana and Ballinatree to his brother in law, Captain Richard Smith. So Halroyd Smith,
yeah. That was the first Smiths that came, so
came. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't build that house. So what it says was Captain Smith and the family would remain in residence for over 350 years, you know the way. So,
yes.
And what it says here was the house described initially as a castled dwelling, I suppose it had to be back in them days, and was virtually destroyed in 1645. So we said earlier on at this stage, the 1641 to 1649 was the big wars. So there would have been a lot of waste around the whole place as well. So obviously their family home was, whether they were royalist or from the Confederate side, it's hard, I don't know. But obviously it was knocked down anyway and burnt. But it said it was rebuilt a few times. And then they said a Georgian mansion was remodelled by Grice Smith in 1795. So it was Grice Smith.
That's the present building, house, the present walls.
Beautiful place.
When you look at it, actually, when you look at the sighting of it there, wasn't the great foresight, which a great foresight in the people, the builders then, when they looked at the view. You see the same in Strancally Castle, yeah, with the beautiful commanding view it has.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And just the whole, and especially that area, because you've just so much around you as well anyway, and it's so wide, the area kind of, you know, the river is wide as well there as well. As I said, there's boat trips and everything, guys. You can definitely take it up there as well and see this all for yourself as well. Well, we're looking at, as we were sitting on the Catalina May, myself and Noel here at the moment, and we're still heading up river. So around the corner then from Ballinatree, you're kind of coming over, and it was called the Clashmore Broads. So we're coming
around the Broad of Clashmore, yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you actually know there was a quay? There's a Clashmore quay. So there's
I heard of that, yeah.
It was only recently I heard, and I saw it. I went down and actually looked at it as well, and it was called Raheen Quay. Now, it's not on the River Lickey. I thought it was on the River Lickey, but it's not. It's the river that runs through Clashmore and then comes out and meets the River Lickey, and then the River Lickey moves into the Blackwater there as well anyway. But I'm going to come back to Clashmore again. I don't want to say too much about Clashmore.
There's a program there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's going to be funny for you guys, because I suppose, not to do a spoiler, I think the quay was mainly built for whiskey. Getting whiskey. So the likes of us and our Catalina May ship used to pull in there and used to load on the barrels from the distillery in Clashmore as well.
Oh, yes, so the old mill, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not going to spoil it now.
We will be. Big Loyola. Big Loyola.
We're going to come back to the Clashmore people as well, anyway. Yes. So I'll leave the Clashmore bit anyway. The next one we were just talking about earlier on, we'll say, was the Ronans. So, as you can, do you know where the, I can say now, Deloctan House?
Deloctan, yeah.
So that was one of the Ronan's houses, we'll say. Again, it was the ancient estate of the original belonging. It used to be the Blutes. And they were there in King Henry's time. So back again in the 1500s, they were a Devonshire family. They were all given land, you know, the way. So they were all kind of...
They were presented with land. They got land for nothing, didn't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. You know, if you were a colonel, if you were a general, were a supplier, you know, to the armies, or if you were just a good friend, you know, here's a bit of land, take lads.
Exactly. For favours returned, favours absolutely. For services rendered, kind of thing. You got your 1,000 acres or whatever the case may be, and a key thrown in as well, or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
And but a lot of the Blutes, a lot of these people, they built the area as well, because the Blute families, they would have been mayors of the Yall as well, so they would have been, you know, heavily involved
in the trade in the town. You know?
And it was all the building.
And they certainly brought prosperity to the town as well.
Whichever way you look at it, or you know the way, I think it all adds to everything. You know the way, everybody adds to something anyway.
Of course.
Well.
They left their mark.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the Bludes then, I think it was, like, we all kind of know Deloch Tan House is the Ronan's house. But I think it was marriage through one of the Ronan's from the Bludes got married, and then that's how it got, came into the Ronan's side of it then as well. I actually don't know when the present house was built. Beautiful, still lovely area as well. Absolutely gorgeous. All along Nole, as you're travelling up, as we're travelling up here, we're going to be passing a lot of different little quays. So if you can imagine, like we were saying about the bridges, but back in the olden days, it was quays. So there was no bridge going across, but what you had was a quay and a ferry boat.
It was a quay and a ferry boat going across,
And you know the way, so people were travelling over and back, all the ways up. You know, like every mile nearly, there would have been a quay.
Well, there would have been a boat over and back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, there's a few of them there, because on we're passing the Broads now at the moment, and we can see kind of on our left-hand side, our port side again, Newport. You know the way.
Or Newport Quay,
As you come along, come out of kind of the Ballinatrea House area and come back down onto the water's edge, you're back into Newport there as well. Absolutely lovely there as well. We did a lot of boating, canoeing around that area as well. There's a lovely quay there as well as well. And then if you can see it nearly from Newport as well, up on the right hand side or starboard side is Ballinaclash, and then we've...
Oh, you have, of course, you have Ballinaclash. Morning Mary Sheehan and John Sheehan, they're living right in the quay there.
They were brilliant. She was Mary did the programme, which is
Mary
well,
did the programme,
the last fisherwoman.
Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. I heard that one again anyway. It was absolutely brilliant. And so we'll say Ballinaclash, and then there is a Coolbah quay.
Coolbah quay, yeah.
Coolbah. There's one of these has a mill as well, from memory as well. There was one of these has there was an old water mill as well on the quay, near the quay as well. I know
it was probably one of many, I suppose.
Well, it probably was. Tony Lawler had it up actually recently again on one of the photographs on Facebook as well. Tony is brilliant with his photographs. I'll find out that again. I know it anyway, in fairness to it. It's a lovely, but like that, it would have been brilliant. You know, if you can mill the corn on the quay and then it goes straight onto the boat.
Yes.
Very little travel, you know, the way of happy days. But one of the, you're coming, we're still going up river. We're after passing a few of the quays. And again, on our port side, our left side, Strancally Castle Old.
Now there's old two. Strang, there's old Strancally. There's old and new Strancally, yes.
And, you know, again, I was on this a lot, you know, the way, and I know Maurice O'Connor as well has been canoeing around it. It's very hard to get to it. Really hard to get to this. We were talking about getting into the car and all that. You won't drive to old Strancally Castle. You'll do to new, all right, but not old.
Yes.
By boat is the only way. But even by boat, it's hard enough. You know what I mean?
It's hard enough, yeah.
And actually, you'd be passing it before you'd actually know it's...
It's practically a ruin now, isn't it?
Oh, it's a total ruin, but it's covered in trees.
It's covered
in
ivy and trees
so
and everything.
It's very hard.
I think there's a couple of old woodcuts of it, I think, still around the area, or still... view somehow, you know.
Well, there is, and it's beautiful. Like, it's a castle I was in a lot, myself anyway, because... It's just so hard to get to it, to be honest with you. But I did a lot of canoeing back in the olden days, and you can get easy enough by canoe. But again, it was probably Raymond Le Gros. They reckon that was built this again in the 12th century.
So Ballyphilip, I suppose, that would be the easiest, the nearest place to it, I suppose.
Ballyphilip would be, that's the tower, is it?
The townland there.
Okay,
Ballyphilip, I suppose, would be the nearest place you'd get to.
Because
I suppose the old Strancally, isn't it?
Yeah, because, and then you're right, because like Ballyphilip Tower is new Strancally Castle. So I didn't know the area was called Ballyphilip now at all, so that was a good one. But what they said was here was legend has it that the castle contained a famous murdering hole. This is a story that went on forever, but it was a famous murdering hole in one of its bedrooms, and a sinister device came in a form of a concealed trapdoor, which when opened would propel the victim directly into the river below. Now, there's some truth about this, right? First of all, I was in it, right? And this is on a rock, and I think it's 50 foot deep, right outside the window.
Yeah.
So if anybody goes into the water and they can't swim, you can forget about it. I think somebody said that there was an old coal ship or barge sunk actually underneath it as well.
Yes.
But it's too deep. You know the way, it's very, very deep. And inside Noel, again, I wouldn't recommend anybody doing this, by the way. It's a rock face. It's like, so this castle was built on a rock, but there's like a dungeon inside it. And it's like a square hole built straight through the rock. And you can go in there and you can imagine. So I don't know about the bed and the concealed door, but I can imagine what the coroner was saying was the old landlord at the time who didn't, you know, if he
insulted his wife or whatever, the guest may be my guest for the night.
Here's a couple of drinks and down you go into the dungeon first.
Exactly.
And then you're just thrown out through the window. So it was but the dungeon is there. You know the way it's it's not a dungeon as you think, like you see in the films. It's carved out of rock, but pure rock. But it's an amazing little so really what it says then, it was it comes back in, this was always kind of used very prominent, because we'll say where it is, it's, you can see a mile down and a mile up river from that point. So anybody attacking, you could only get to it really by water.
Because there was nothing like a road.
This place was high on the rock as well, so you couldn't really, you know, it was very hard to get to it. But it said it was occupied by the Spaniards during the second Desmond Rebellion, so back in the 1500s. These places, there would have been Spanish, and there would have been mercenaries, basically.
Yes.
You'd have Spanish, you'd have French mercenaries and all that kind of stuff. Remember, the Spanish were coming into Kinsale as well at the same time. Mm-hmm. But what it says was, Gerald Fitzgerald sacked Youghal. This is during the rebellion. Sacked Youghal in 1579, and he brought his booty from Youghal up to the castle, and he let the Spaniards look after it. So obviously it was a Fitzgerald's castle still at that stage.
It's an interesting little spot as well.
Mm-hmm. Very hard to get to it, but again by boat you can see it definitely. And you just mentioned it there, because we're just carrying a bit more up along the river. We're carrying on up the river nicely here now at the moment, and we have Ballyphilip Tower, which you said is a town. I didn't realise this. And Ballyphilip Tower House, it's a folly. Anybody who knows it, if you come down from Knockanore, very close to Knockanore.
Yes, yes.
So if you went to Knockanore and went down for the road to Strangkelly Castle, there's a quay and everything like that. So there's the, we'll say Ballyphilip Tower, we'll call it, on one side of it, the quay, and then there's Strangkelly Castle, which is private lands as well, guys, so don't drive in there.
Yeah, there was a turn there, actually. There was a lodge, actually, there, as you go down there. There was a lodge in the corner, actually.
That's right, you're dead right.
And if you go down straight, then you come down to the tower, the folly.
The folly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and then, and what it just says here was, it was a folly, and it was Strangkelly Castle, built with Strangkelly Castle new, and then it was built probably in 1826, so it's not that very old, but they reckon it was just a fishing lodge, you know, the way the castle, it was built as a fishing lodge. Any of the buddies came, instead of keeping them in the castle, you throw them down to the lodge.
Exactly,
And I'm just going to, we're just going to finish here on Strangkelly Castle new, because we're going to head up the Bride now in a minute, so on our boat, because we've 50 ton of coal still for the O'Keefe's.
They'll be worried about their coal.
So it was, but Strangkelly Castle new again, absolutely gorgeous place, you know, from the river and all that. When you're going up actually the river, you don't really see it, but when you're actually coming back down the river, Noel, that's when you actually see it in its full glory. It's really fantastic. Again, it's kind of the modern one. So it was 1825. So the Ballyphilip Tower beside it, 1826. This was kind of 1825. So obviously it was built at the same time. You know the way, and I see all the pier there as well, the new pier. It was all built at the same time.
It's a fascinating place, like Strangkelly Castle. Now, as I said, I was in it a couple of times actually there. And if you drive into the entrance there and stop at the front door, and look, you have a wonderful view all the way up the river.
It's
absolutely fabulous, like, just, and there's a fabulous work being done to it. It's a private residence.
It's a private residence,
and the grounds are kept immaculate. The castle itself is absolutely immaculate.
No, well done to everybody there, because it really is. And what they said was,
Knockanore Feet, actually, as we mentioned before, Knockanore Feet, I think, around the 1920s, 1930s. Was actually held in the grounds of Strangkelly Castle. It was the first feat, Knockanore Feat.
And it did change hands over time, because I remember it was like a school, I think, like, you know, like next door, the French or the Spanish convent.
Yes.
The Spanish school, will say there was, I think it was a German school at the time as well. But I think there was a couple of unexpected presents went home after 9 months.
It didn't last
too long then afterwards because of this.
Yeah, it was idle for a bit, actually. It was idle throughout its life. It was idle now and then. But I think the new owners now are actually there to stay.
No, it's absolutely gorgeous. But it was built, as I said, 1825 as a Gothic-style house. And it was for John Kiely. Now, the Kileys, again, would have been a famous kind of... there's a lot of Musgraves, Keynes, Cavendishes. All these guys would have been a famous... fairly famous ushers, which we're going to get onto as well.
Yes.
the construction will say sandstone, limestone, high quality. That's what they said. It was high quality stone masonry and craftsmanship went into it. But as I said, this was John Kiley, the Kiley family. And we're going to finish in our in Lismore again about, and it would have been a brother of his. Now, but this guy, John Kiley, was supposed to be a nice guy, you know, a good landlord for around the area and all that. His brother wasn't, and that's all I'll say. But we'll finish off with, and it was like his name was Arthur Kiley Usher, and he was Ballysaggart Moor the Towers. So if we're in Lismore, we visit the towers. But we'll finish. That's where we're going to finish.
Very good.
Probably not today, though.
We're actually going to finish now, as I say, at Strancally Castle.
Well, we are, because
we're going to take a little break in Strancally Castle and admire the view up and down the river,
and
while the Kathleen and May's moor there. I'll take you a little bit of a break.
But what we're going to do is we're going to come back, we're going to moor here for a while, and then what we're going to do is next week we come back, we're actually heading up the Bride. So we'll just and we won't be up there too long.
Up our own campfire.
Campfire?
Yeah.
We'll pass the bridge and all of this, and we'll have a chat then as well, Noel.
Okay. Listen, thanks, Mike, Noel. As we always say, still the gaze and still the wonder grew that one small hate could carry it new, all it knew. Mike, we're indebted with your presence again, and indeed we're certainly looking forward to the next episode of From Knockadoole to Ardmore, a trip up the River Blackwater on board the Kathleen and May.
Good morning, everybody.